We got breaking news here that has been sent to me by several people listening. Our friend Steve Kirsch is breaking it. Others are breaking it in the last 37 minutes. Steve Kirsch has just broken it. New Project Veritas video hits it out of the park. Watch now. Dr. Lindstedt, here it is. I'd love for you to respond to this. Steve Kirsch reports Pfizer executive admits they're engineering viruses so they can have the vaccine ready when their virus becomes the dominant strain. Pfizer makes a lot of money and America loses. This is, again, a reported Veritas undercover video. Steve Kirsch and others are breaking it even as we're on the air. So I could hold it for tomorrow night or get ahead of the news curve tomorrow morning and tomorrow for the Patriot news outlets and beat them to it. So let's do it now tonight. Watch a little bit of this 9-minute video. We'll get Dr. Lindstedt to respond. Watch this.
Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No.
Don't tell anyone this, Billy. You gotta publish, don't tell anyone. You gotta publish, don't tell anyone. Okay? We're exploring, like, now. You know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're gonna do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses. To be, like, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something that, like, you know, goes everywhere.
Something
which
crazy.
Suspect is the way that the virus started and moving on. To be honest, like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
Meet Jordan Tristan Walker, a director of research and development strategic operations and mRNA scientific planning at Pfizer.
It sounds like gain of function to me.
I don't know, it's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like, there's... It's definitely not gain of function.
It sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No. So directed evolution is very different. Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to do gain of function research with the viruses. Like,
yeah.
They recommend not. But you do, like, these, like, selected directional mutations to try to see if you can make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There might not be any more outbreaks. Just like, Jesus Christ.
The gentleman seems to have... absolutely no moral compass at all.
Okay. Another revolving door for all government officials. It's pretty good for the industry, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's bad for everyone else in America.
Why is it bad for everybody else?
Because if the regulators who have to approve our drugs know that once they stop being regulated, they want to go work for the company, they're not going to be as hard for the company. They're doing their job.
If this is the quality of individuals within Pfizer that are making these huge decisions that risk global public health, it's profoundly corrupt.
What is Pfizer doing, I guess, to optimize, you know, the vaccines now?
Oh, we actually have a meeting about that today, so there's a lot.
Really?
They're doing, I don't know if I should say this.
Our undercover journalist asked Walker how Pfizer is handling the fact that their COVID vaccines are ineffective against virus variants. What he said is disturbing. Listen to this.
We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we could develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We're like, do we want to do this? So that's, like, one of the things we're considering.
Okay.
Like, the future, like, maybe we can, like, create new versions of the vaccines and things like that.
Okay, so Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. That's why it was a thought that came up in a meeting, and we were like, why do we not? It was like, we're going to consider that. There'll be more discussions.
Okay.
That exact reaction, right? We're like, wait a minute. Like, people won't like that.
That's right. It appears that Pfizer is internally discussing the possibility of mutating the COVID virus themselves in order to tailor a vaccine to sell to the public. Listen to Walker describe in detail just how they would conduct such a scientific experiment. First, in living animals.
So the way that we're thinking about it, like, don't tell anyone this. You gotta promise you won't tell anyone. So the way it would work is, like, we put them in the virus in these monkeys.
Okay.
And then we successively, like, cause them to keep infecting each other. And we collect serial samples from them. And then the ones that are more infectious, like the virus, we'll put them in another monkey and just constantly actively mutate it. That's one way.
Okay.
Or you can even do, like, directed, like, simulation, which, like, we turn off for. And then you just sample what the different, proteins on the surface of the virus look like over time.
Okay.
So then you can see the mutation, and you can kind of force it to mutate in a certain way you want.
Okay.
But you have to be, like, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something that, like, you know, goes everywhere.
Something
which
crazy.
I suspect is the way that the virus started and moved on, to be honest. Like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
COVID virus experimentation on live monkeys? This is unethical, to say the least, and Walker describes those experiments as if they are ongoing and not simply a hypothetical discussion.
So, I mean, when is Pfizer going to implement the mutation of all these viruses?
I don't know. It depends on how the experiments work out, because this is just like something we're trying, right?
It sounds like gain of function to me.
I don't know. It's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like there's... It's definitely not gain of function.
Sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No, directed evolution is very different.
Direct evolution?
Directed evolution,
okay. Well, so, I mean, is that what it is?
Maybe. I Well, you're not supposed to do gain of function research with the viruses. Like,
yeah.
They recommend not. But you do, like, these, like, selected directional mutations to try to see if you can make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There might not be any more outbreaks, just like Jesus Christ.
So tell me more, like, what's developing with the whole, you know, virus mutation process?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're still kind of conducting the experiments on it, but it seems like from what I've heard, they're kind of optimizing it, but they're going slow because everyone's very cautious, like, you know.
Right.
Obviously, they don't want to kind of accelerate it too much.
Yeah.
But I think they're also just trying to do it as an exploratory thing, because you obviously don't want to advertise that you're trying to figure out future mutation.
Right. So, did the whole virus mutation thing, like, come from your executive, Sarah?
No. That came from, like, we have, like, chief scientific officers in, like, the other divisions.
In a subsequent meeting, our undercover journalist asked if this type of gain-of-function research is already being studied at Pfizer. But no, as long as it's called directed evolution, Pfizer's in the clear.
What's the goal for Pfizer of doing that?
So probably what they want to do is, like, to try to figure out, to some extent, try to figure out, like, you know, there's all these new strains of variants that just pop up. Why don't we try to, like, catch them before they pop up in nature, and we can develop a vaccine prophylactic for, like, new variants.
Yeah.
So that's why they're thinking, like, if you do it controlled in the lab, then you say, oh, this is an epitope. And so then if it comes out later on, like, in the public, we already have a vaccine kind of working on it.
Oh, my God. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't that, the best business model, though? Like, just control nature before nature even happens itself, right?
Yeah, if it works.
What do you mean if it works?
Because, like, some of the times there were just mutations that pop up, right, and we're not prepared for it, like with Delta or Omicron,
right,
and things like that. So who knows? I mean, either way, it's gonna be a cash cow. COVID will probably be a cash cow for us for a while going forward. Like,
yeah,
I obviously like
Well, I think the whole, you know, I think the whole, like, research of the viruses and mutating it, like, would be the ultimate, like, cash cow.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Now, you would think that creating viruses to sell the vaccine would be illegal, but no. The pharmaceutical industry, as Walker puts it, is, quote, a revolving door for all government officials, unquote.
All right, let's hold it right there.
For all government.
Yeah, oh, wow. And, you know, that revolving door thing. We were hearing that many, many years ago when it came to the FDA, that a lot of the people that would regulate different things in the FDA were letting things go through because as soon as they left the FDA, they went to go get a job for those very companies. And they were bouncing with a revolving door back and forth between the corporate world and the government, the FDA. Seems as though that's what this guy's saying as well. But this idea that, hey, we're going to try to come up with what the variant might be and have the vaccine ready to go. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, again, talk about an evil, debased place, right?
I think what we see here is deception, double standard, and corruption. I think of the things that we've seen come down the pike. I have a video that is on Follow the Money, and it traces Fauci and what Fauci did to become rich. And so we're looking at documents. There's a double standard. We're looking at Russian collusion. There's a double standard. We're looking at China collusion. The implications now is that the Biden family has wholesaled documents to China. Information has been transmitted. So here's what the Bible indicates, that in the end time, men do not get better and better. We get worse and worse. And that's why I think there's going to be a judgment day. It appears to me that it's money and power that so many of our politicians want. And that's what's sad, because, you'd think that, is there anyone who's elected for the people? Is there really a person there who's standing for the people? And it appears that all of them are there to make their dollar now and to have their power now. And so it's sad, but it shows that the nature of man, we're sinful. And we shouldn't expect any more from sinful men. But it really is discouraging to look at something like this, because I think there is an element of truth there, because we're watching it take place. Every area of government, we're watching that double standard, that corruption, and that deception taking place.
Absolutely. Wow. Rob Lindstedt, BibleTipNow.org, BibleTipNow.org. Dr. Lindstedt, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dr. Lindstedt checking in. Check out his site, BibleTipNow.org. You'll also find a lot of free resources right there on his website at BibleTipNow.org. If you go over to my website, WVWTV.com, I don't have time to do the show here for you. There's too much to repeat stuff. But yesterday and today, if you come over here to my website, WVWTV.com, you'll see here on my website, somewhere on here, I have today's radio show that's already been posted somewhere. Where did it go? I don't know. It's supposed to be on here somewhere already. I thought we put today's radio show up already, but maybe not. But here we go. Here's yesterday's Worldview Radio. In 1837, President Andrew Jackson predicted today's America, part one. I guess part two hasn't been loaded yet, but it's about to be loaded. And so today I did part two. And what I'm going through, and I don't have time to do it here, but I'm going to tell you about it so you can go over and watch it at WVWTV.com. I'm going through the farewell address of Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson. As you know, I went to his home, the Hermitage, outside of Nashville on Friday. I've been a big fan of Andrew Jackson for many years for many reasons. He did away with a central bank and warned us never to get one again. It's very prophetic what he's saying in this speech from March 4th, 1837. So much of what he is saying, it's happened. He said, this is what will happen if you go this way. If the American people don't stand up and if they're not patriotic and virtuous. In fact, there's one line in this speech today. I said, this would make great t-shirts, bumper stickers. People should tweet it. Andrew Jackson, in his farewell address to the American people, said, no free government can stand without virtue in the people and a lofty spirit of patriotism. Let me read that again. No free government can stand without virtue in the people and a lofty spirit of patriotism. He went on to say, and if the sordid feelings of mere selfishness shall usurp the place which ought to be filled by public spirit, the legislation of Congress will soon be converted into a scramble for personal and sectional advantages. In other words, they're going to tax you into oblivion, grow government beyond its constitutional bounds, which he warned about over and over. He warned over and over about the government going beyond its enumerated responsibilities as contained in the U.S. Constitution, taxing the people to grow the size of government, and then a fight over who will get the money. But notice he says that no free government can stand without virtue in the people and a lofty spirit of patriotism. Where are the virtues today? He warned of selfishness. What are we hearing from this Pfizer whistleblower clip we just played? Is that virtue? Or is that selfishness, as Dr. Lindstedt just described? Is that power and money? Greed? What about patriotism? First of all, do we teach virtues to our children anymore? Are we teaching virtues to our children in our schools? No. Yet again today, I saw a mother who has found in her child's school a pornographic book that are drawings and pictures that I cannot show on television for fear that I could be prosecuted for promoting obscenity. Pictures and drawings of children engaged in homosexual acts with one another, and this is being put in the school library books, and another mother, and there's been many, another mother has found this in her child's school. This isn't virtue. We teach the lifeboat scenario. 5 people in a lifeboat, enough food and rations for 4. Who do you throw over? Who is a useless eater? Who do we get rid of? Situational ethics has been around at least since the 1960s. The end justifies the means. Pragmatism. Utilitarianism. Whatever gives us the best outcome. Where's the virtue today? In fact, it's everything that is not virtuous largely being taught today. And then he says, what about patriotism? We have to have virtue in the people, and we have to have a loyal, lofty spirit of patriotism. Are we teaching patriotism to our children? Ronald Reagan warned in his farewell address to the nation that he was concerned about the decline of patriotism, that many young parents don't think it's quite appropriate to teach such old-fashioned ideas to their children. And President Reagan, in his farewell address from the Oval Office, called upon Americans to once again be committed to an informed patriotism, an informed patriotism. I was talking to someone, a friend of mine that I've had since second grade today. He'll be 70 soon, longtime friend. And he's very busy with his job and his activities, his responsibilities. And I was sharing with him about the BRICS banking system. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. What Saudi Arabia was saying about dumping the U.S. petrodollar. This is a very educated individual. And he was stunned at what I was telling him. And I wanted to tell him more and more and more and how the pieces all fit together. And he said, why is this not being talked about on the news outlets? This is huge news. This will impact all of us. And I said, well, if you look at who owns the news outlets, go look at the big Vanguard, BlackRock, all these huge companies and what they own. Do you think those companies that are, you know, got financial instruments want people understanding this and dumping those instruments and realizing how this game is rigged and fractional reserve banking and the stock market and all these investments, what's going on? They don't want the people knowing this. We need an informed patriotism, being informed about the issues of the day and how they impact our country, our nation. I was talking to a friend who said that 5 years ago, this is supposed to be a conservative Bible-teaching church. 5 years ago, they removed the American flag from their church auditorium. I said, why'd they do that? This is a very conservative Bible-teaching church. And the reason they removed the American flag from the church auditorium was because it was divisive with some. Well, I would say, if you find the American flag divisive, then go find yourself another church. I'm not interested, as I said on radio today, in raising the flag above the cross. But, you know, many of us grew up seeing the Christian flag in one corner of our church and the American flag in the other corner of the church and the cross lifted high in the center of the church above the baptismal. Why is the flag controversial? That stands for the patriotism, and the men have given their lives and shed their blood that we might be a free nation and have the First Amendment and freedom of religion and the right to assemble and to join together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and practice our Christian worldview. And you mean the flag which stands for those who have fallen, the virtues of our nation, that's now controversial? Well, then couldn't we say that about the Christian flag? Or how about we say that about the cross? That's controversial. In fact, the Bible says the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And yet here we have what are described as Bible-teaching churches saying, well, we've removed the flag to stop any controversy. Yeah. I'm sure Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the communist groups are praising that. But President Andrew Jackson in 1837, no free government can stand without virtue in the people and a lofty spirit of patriotism. You want to watch that part one that I did yesterday, part two that'll be posted tonight, and I'll continue this tomorrow on my radio show at 1 o'clock Central. It's now posted. Annie's telling me it's now posted. Part two is there. You'll be blown away by what Andrew Jackson predicted in 1837 that has now actually happened and is happening right now. You appreciate what I'm doing and all the free programming I give away and the thousands of dollars in bandwidth bill I have to pay for every month to give away free programming? Well, I need your support. Please consider going to WVWFoundation.com and making a contribution of any size. WVWFoundation.com. Don't forget about our Sunday night service that I've been teaching since 2015, every Sunday night right here at 8 p.m. Central Time. WVW Foundation helps us push out free programming to you, but it's not free to us to produce or the thousands of dollars in bandwidth bill we spend every month to give it away as a ministry of our foundation. So thank you for your support at WVWFoundation.com. So next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.